Today we look at Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 1, and we see that Paul's desire and his prayer for the Philippian believers was that they would live lives that bring glory and praise to God. We too are those who are to live lives to God's glory and praise. So have a look with me at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. I'm just going to read it for us. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul was thankful every time he thought about these believers in Philippi. When he prayed for them, he prayed with joy, we read. But why? Why did Paul feel this way? What was Paul's joy in? Why was he so thankful to God for these believers? Why was he filled with so much joy? Well, verse 5 tells us, because of their partnership in the gospel. Paul was thankful to God for every one of these believers. He was filled with joy when he prayed for them, and this was because of their partnership, or their communion, their fellowship in the gospel. The way that they partnered with Paul, this was not just because they gave some money one time to some work they thought was good, but he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. These Philippian believers had partnered with Paul from the very beginning of his dealings with them. And they had not lost interest along the way, but they were faithful partners with him from the first day until now. Fellow partners with him in the gospel, the good news about Jesus. But how? How did they partner with Paul? How did they show this partnership? Well, have a look with me at verses 7 and 8 again. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you in the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul justifies his joy and thankfulness to God for the Philippians because they partnered with him both in his imprisonments and with his defense and confirmation of the good news. But how? Well, we read in chapter 4 of this letter, Paul says this, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." They partnered with Paul by providing for his needs. Paul even says, "Not one church shared with you in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." The Philippians were involved in the care and concern for Paul in a way which no other church was. We read elsewhere in this letter that they had sent Epaphroditus, one of their members, to care for Paul's needs, and they'd given gifts to Epaphroditus to give to Paul to supply for his needs. And Paul is filled with joy and thankfulness because of them, because they were living out their faith. They were facing the same trials, we read in chapter 1, that Paul faced, being persecuted for their belief in Jesus. And that's why Paul is so confident to say in verse 6, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul is confident that God will continue his good work in these believers because they have shown by their love and concern, through their care and support of Paul, they have shown by this fruit of their partnership to be those in whom God has begun a good work. These are the children of God. Children with a Father, God, who does not start something that he doesn't finish. One commentator says of this verse 6, Paul does not envisage more mere maintenance of the Philippians' faith, but positive improvement in their discipleship, until it is capped by the perfection effected by the last day that they have Jesus Christ. Verse 6 is not supposed to let us off the hook as Christians. It's not a verse that we read and we go, oh, well, now we don't have to do anything because God's going to finish what he started in us. Actually, the evidence of God's work in these Philippian believers was the fruit that it produced in their lives. Their partnership in the gospel was that fruit. Listen to Paul's own words from chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul did not excuse himself because God would finish the work he'd started, but Paul pressed on. He strained toward what was ahead, toward the goal, to win the prize. Paul was confident that God, who had begun a good work in the Philippians, would bring it to completion. And the child of God can put all their confidence in this truth, that God will finish the good work that he has started within us. God both starts the work in us and he finishes the work in us. God saves us, God grows us, and God keeps us until Jesus' return. What could fill us, his people, this morning with more confidence and joy? Now we come to Paul's prayer in verse 9 to 11, and he informs them that he prays for them. Have a look at me again from verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul prays first that their love may abound more and more. But what kind of love is Paul talking about when he says your love may abound more and more? Well, Paul is talking about an informed love here, isn't he? This is not a worldly love that makes up its own definition of what love is. This is not just a feeling or an emotion. This is love that is informed by the knowledge and depth of insight of God. And you know, our world would say, you know, for example, how can you Christians say that, you know, for two men or two women who live together, love each other in a relationship, that this is wrong? How can you say that this is sinful? You know, that's not a very loving thing to say, is it? But as Christians, our love is informed by God. The prayer here that Paul prays is that their love will abound, that it will increase more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. One author wrote, the world takes us to a silver screen on which flickering images of passion and romance play. And as we watch, the world says, this is love. But God takes us to the foot of a tree on which a naked and bloodied man hangs and says, this is love. And this is an informed love that Paul is talking about, a love based upon the truths in God's word. This is God's love. This is not knowledge that puffs up, as Paul says in Corinthians, but love that builds up. This is not just an intellectual practice. It's a phrase that I heard recently, I think sums this up well. It's a love that informs the mind and grips the heart and shapes the will. A love that is taught to us by God. A love that grows by the Spirit of God teaching us through the Word of God. You know, as we reflect and meditate on the great truths of God, on the wonderful good news of what Jesus has done, our love abounds more and more with this knowledge and depth of insight. And we are able to discern what is best. And by this we grow in discerning and therefore choosing what is best in our lives. But what's the purpose of us being able to discern or distinguish or decide what is best? What's the purpose of that? Well, Paul tells us that we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And Paul's desire for the Philippians in his prayer is that they would live pure and blameless lives until Christ's return. That they would live with the end in sight. In chapter 3, Paul writes to these same Philippians, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." That they would live with the end in sight was Paul's aim. And we as believers are to live with the end in sight, looking to Christ's return, living lives that are not focused on the things of the world, but living lives in light of eternity. And Paul then uses the phrase, filled with the fruit of righteousness. If the Spirit of God has opened our eyes, we are children of God. We live as our Father in heaven. We live righteously. We do fail, and our trust is only ever in, and can only ever be in Jesus and not in our good works. But we are shaped by lives of righteousness. And Paul very clearly here points out for us that this righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Righteousness, that is, as one definition says, being characterized by the conduct, the actions, words, and thoughts that God himself judges to be right. And this fruit of right living under God comes to us, the children of God, through Jesus, through his work in us. He is the one who receives the glory for our right living under God, and not us. Jesus produces within us the fruit of righteousness. But what really is Paul's point to all this? Why is he saying this? Paul is asking God to do what he can't do for these believers. This is God's work that is needed here. And Paul looks and prays to God. He wants their love to abound, to increase more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that they may be able to discern, to decide what is best, so that they may be pure and blameless until the day Jesus comes back. How are they to do? By being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. But what's the purpose of all this? To the glory and praise of God. The purpose of Paul's prayer was that God would work in the Philippians so that through them God would receive praise and glory. So that God would be held in his rightful place. So that he would be worshipped and esteemed as he so deserves for what he has done and who he is. Let me finish this morning with a couple of questions for us to just ponder over and pray about in our hearts. Are you living in light of eternity? As citizens of a heavenly, eternal dwelling? As subjects waiting for their king to return? In what ways are you partnering in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus? In what ways do you care and support those who work, who are in the work of making the gospel known throughout this country and throughout this world? In what ways are you making the gospel known in your own life? In what ways do you pray for Christians here and throughout your life? And can I encourage you guys this morning, encourage myself, to pray this for each other. To pray this prayer that God might be praised and glorified in and through each other's lives. Can I encourage you to think about and pray this for yourselves. To think over these truths and ask God to work them in your life. Let me pray for us.